We want to play the game to win. Too many people play the game not to lose. You want to win in persuasion. You want to win in communication. It's all about questions. Your ability to ask questions, your ability to answer questions, your ability to handle the tough questions. Let's discover how to influence with authority using questions. What we're finding when we look at great persuaders is they tend to ask 3 times more questions than the average person. 3 times more questions. Of all the tools in your persuasion toolbox, questioning is probably the one most often used by great persuaders. Questions gain immediate involvement. They help guide the conversation. And the great thing about questions is when you ask a question, they always get answered. Now, they might not verbalize it, but it always gets answered. And you can steer the conversation by asking questions. If you lose control of a conversation, you ask questions. It shows your sincerity. And if you do it the right way, they'll tell you everything you need to know to persuade them. Now, the interesting thing, there was a study done with negotiators. And skilled negotiators, successful negotiators, ask 2 to 3 times more questions than average negotiators. Another study found that 4-year-olds ask 300 questions a day, while the average college graduate only asks 20. So I don't know, maybe that's too much as a 4-year-old, but there's something about asking questions. You find out their needs, you come across more as a consultant than a salesperson, and it's power. But you have to understand how to form a good question. How do you grab their attention? Every word matters. When we talk about the law of verbal packaging, you know that every word matters. For example, when you say, how tall is he versus how short is he? When you show someone a picture, how tall is he versus how short is he? Just one word different in that question, it was almost a 10-inch difference in estimation on how tall they were. That's the power, not only the words, but the questions that you use. So the questions create mental involvement, they guide the conversation, and you find out their needs and their wants. It's easier not to. It's easier to vomit all the features and benefits. But let me repeat this. When you ask the right questions, when you get into their brain, when you control the conversation, they'll tell you everything you need to know to persuade them. So let's talk about some formulas here on how this works. Now, if you're probing for information, it's best to keep your questions unstructured or use open-ended questions. Those are the type of questions you can't answer with a yes or no. That way, you're fishing for more information, you keep asking more questions, and you can get a lot more information. Now, a good rule of thumb here is to start with the easiest questions first. Sometimes when people don't know the answer to the question, it kind of stifles them a little bit and they don't open up. So when they ask a question, or when you ask a question, make sure it's easy. It could be, how do you spell your first name? Okay, something very simple. Get them in a track record to answering questions. And by all means, when they ask a question, you say, thank you. Great question. Soothe their ego, because everyone's asked questions before in a classroom situation where they felt stupid or dumb, and you do not want that. You want them to feel that any time they can break in and ask you a question. Because when they feel that way, it is much easier to persuade and influence. Now, sometimes you can even use leading questions, and this is what trial lawyers do when they try to influence a witness. They showed 3 groups of people a video of cars crashing into each other. In the first group, they said, how fast were the cars going when they smashed into each other? The second group was, how fast were the cars going when they hit each other? And the third group was, how fast were they going when they contacted each other? Okay, all saw the same video, but the estimation between contacted and smashed was more than 10 miles an hour. In another study, people were asked, do you see the broken headlight? We're 2 to 3 times more likely to answer yes than the subjects who were asked, did you see a broken headlight? So it's not only the words you use, but it's the questions that you use. Some good questions that'll really help you out. What do you think about? And then fill in the blank. How do you feel about? Or the best one I like is, what's important about? What's important about saving your home? What's important about a home-based business? What's important about spending more time with your family? What's important about solving and fill in the blank with the problem? That's gold right there. What's important about, and you fill in the blank. Because a lot of times, this questioning can measure the level of receptivity in your prospects. Gauging on their questions. Because if they're not asking any questions, you're not getting to them. You want them to ask questions. Always want them to ask questions. Now that brings up a great situation as far as, what about a group setting, or if there's two or three people? The group question and answer. We need to spend some time with this, because the questions in a group setting will make or break you as a persuader. You want to come across like you enjoy the question, you want the question. Too many people, and they don't mean to do this, is when someone asks a question, it's almost they get a little defensive, because how dare they? I've already explained that. Remember, they're not listening 100% of the time. Even if you did explain it, thanks for the question, I appreciate the question. So you need to have a good attitude here. Even if it's a dumb question, even if you've already answered it, you just say, hey, thanks. Keep the door open. Listen carefully. And you always want to restate their question, because what you think they mean and what they mean are usually two different things. So listen carefully, be attentive, have good eye contact, and pause a little bit. Even though you know the perfect answer, even though you've heard it 100 times, you have to pause. It shows sincerity that you're thinking about it. You say, okay, let me make sure I understand. And say, that's a great question. And even if it's way off base, you thank them for the question. Thank them for the question. Keep that door open. Now, in a group situation, what happens if there are no questions? If you've left 15 minutes for Q&A and nobody asked any questions, what does that mean? Well, maybe they need time to think. They're overwhelmed. Maybe they don't speak English. I mean, that could be a thing. Maybe they're afraid of what other people think. But your goal as a great persuader is to anticipate all the questions. You need to anticipate all the questions that are going to happen. So if there's a pause and there's no questions, one thing you can do is either plant somebody to ask a question if nobody does. Maybe you can say, well, one of the top questions I usually get here is this, and you can start answering it, getting the ball rolling. But be very careful. If you have a structured presentation that you're giving, sometimes you don't want questions in the middle, because it'll throw you off and it gives more power and control to the audience. So if you're giving a presentation that's structured and you don't want questions and the hand goes up, you can't ignore them. You need to say something like, hey, you know, I appreciate your questions. Let's refrain from all your questions, because what we have found is that 99% of your questions will be answered during the presentation. If they're not, we'll spend some time at the end answering your questions. Because questions can throw you off. Questions can give control to the audience, which sometimes you might not want as a persuader. The main thing I want to point out here is, what do you do with the tough questions, whether it be a group or one-on-one? What if somebody asks you a question you don't know the answer to? One thing you can do is relay it to somebody else, or throw it back to that person, or throw it back to the audience. Well, what do you think? Well, before I answer it, let me hear your opinion. That buys you a little time. You can have them restate it. That buys you a little time. Now, if it's a question that is way out there, you can say, I don't know. But understand here that if it's a question you don't know the answer to, but they expect you to know the answer to, that will hurt your credibility. Now, I'm not asking you to lie here, but there are some things you can do to save face here. So if someone asks you a question, say in a group situation, you don't know the answer to, you can throw it back to the audience. You can say, that question takes us off course a little bit. I'll answer that later. If it's in a group situation, you say, you know, let me answer that at the break. So at the break, you go to the person and you say, well, you find them at the break and you say, well, I don't know. And it's one person versus 100 people. That's one thing you can do. You can say, let me get with you later. I'll fax you the answer. I'll email you the answer. So you don't have to answer it directly. One thing you can do is have somebody else answer that question. But you also have to maintain control, as we talked about. Remember, hecklers, is that how do you deal with the question hog? And their hand keeps going up and going up. That's something you can handle at the break because it does annoy the whole audience, somebody that's monopolizing everybody's time. Or you can let them know they get one question, or you try to say, well, let's spread it around. Your ability to handle questions one-on-one in a group will make or break your ability to persuade and influence. Keep the door open. Have kind of a cheery demeanor that, hey, you're welcoming these questions, because too many people, whether you mean it or not, come across like, oh, how dare you, or didn't you listen? And that is one of the big complaints people have during the Q&A time. One thing that I want to point out is when you get questions or you're coming to your call to action, when is it time to shut up and ask for their business? And the complaint is, and the numbers are, that you're talking three times too much to persuade somebody. You're over persuading, you're talking too much. So you need to be aware of buying questions. Hopefully you've heard this before, but there are certain things you'll hear when you know it's time to shut up and ask for their business. You don't keep talking or talk about other things that are not that important. They don't need to know everything to purchase your product or service. So some buying questions can be, well, tell me about these specific terms. How exactly does that work? Would mean they're pretty much done. You need to seal the deal. Or let's go over that guarantee one more time. Mentally, they're buying. It's time to ask for their business. Because if you keep talking, you're going to ruin that emotion. You're going to ruin that energy. And you're going to talk them out of it. They ask for a demonstration. That would be a buying question. Or can we take delivery in 2 weeks? Would be a buying question. Do you have any references? Would be a buying question. And so you need to be in tune to realize if they're asking you a question that's a buying question, it's time to do your call to action, do your close, and seal the deal. If you're in a home and someone says, you know what, we'd put our grand piano right here. What does that tell you? It tells you that you're done. And mentally, they're there. And it's time to seal the deal. Other things you might look at, and far as the nonverbal category is concerned, is when people are ready to purchase from you, their facial expressions relax a little bit. They almost look a little bit older because they're not putting up any resistance anymore. They're like, phew, all right, let's do this. You might see them looking at the paperwork more. You might see approving glances between husband and wife or partners. You might see a little spark in their eye. Would be something that you know it's time to shut up and ask for their business. They might lean a little bit closer to you. Are all different buying signals that you're looking for. Learn to read people like a book because you can. Learn to grab their attention. So if you're giving a presentation one-on-one or in front of a group and you think you've lost them, you need to ask a question. You could say, well, if I could show you how to double your income in 6 months, would grab their attention. If it didn't, you know it's time to move on. If there was a way of saving your home, you can fill in the blank. How would you like to make an extra $2,000 a week? Well, let me ask you a question, or wouldn't it be great to, or have you ever seen you're grabbing their attention? Our brain is trained to listen and to answer questions. It grabs people's attention. Also, when you hit a brick wall, that's something else that you can do to grab their attention. One that I like is, you know, if there was a perfect solution to your challenge, what would it look like? That's a power question. Let me repeat that. If there was a perfect solution to your challenge, what would it be? And let them talk and listen. What would completely solve your challenge? What do I need to do to make you completely satisfied? Could you describe the type of feature you had in mind? Or something like, what investment fits your budget? Or one that works well too. Well, let's put price aside. If price were no object, what would be the most exciting thing about this product, this service, this home, this business, whatever it was? One that works well too is, if a genie appeared and made everything perfect, what would that look like to you? And just listen and ask more questions, and they'll tell you everything you need to know to persuade them. Those are power questions that you can use. So let's talk a little bit about homework and review. Your ability to answer questions, your ability to ask questions, make a big difference in your ability to persuade and influence. It controls a conversation, can make or break you depending on how you handle them in a group situation. If people expect you to know the answer, you need to come across like you have the answer, even if you want to delay it to another time. Let me get your email, I'll answer it that way. It's kind of a complicated explanation. I'll just send you a report, whatever the answer is. What I want you to do this week is to reprogram your brain. You've heard this before, that you're supposed to answer a question with a question. We've all heard that before, but nobody does it because you're programming your whole life because of school is you hear a question, you answer it. You hear a question, you answer it, and that's not the right thing to do. Try this out with your children or other people, and when you're sincere and genuine, it comes across like you're a consultant, just like a doctor. A doctor can't ask too many questions. Well, I suppose they could, but if you're sick and you want help, you're going to answer all the doctor's questions. You're a doctor of persuasion, you're a doctor of influence, and when they sense that you're a consultant, they will answer your questions. So every time this week when somebody asks you a question, try to reprogram your brain to respond with a question. What's for dinner tonight? What do you want for dinner tonight? Just simple things like that where you can reprogram your brain to do that. When someone comes up to you and says, what do you do for a living? You say, well, I help people save their homes that are going into foreclosure. And they say, oh, well, that's great. How do you do that? Don't answer it. Say, well, tell me a little bit more about your situation, or who do you have in mind that we could save their home? Or you could throw out another question. Again, this is going to take a little time. This is actually an improv exercise to where you always answer a question with a question. And when you do it the right way, you'll come across as sincere and genuine and like a consultant. Work on it. Think about it. Be aware of it. And get rid of that knee-jerk reaction to always answer every question that comes at you.